We are midway through the NFL season, and we are midway through this season of the Mojo Break Blitz. Cody with you, Dan and Doug as well. It's week 9 of the National Football League. Week 8 had some pretty exciting games, some pretty surprising results as well. Tua made his debut, although that wasn't really the story in that game. The rookies had a big week last week, all in all. Guys, before we get into week 9, and we already are in week 9, but I think Doug and I would just like to forget that the start of week 9 has already happened right now with what happened in Levi's Stadium.
Was there a game last night?
Yeah. Don't worry about it.
I think all football fans want to forget. That was... Yeah. That wasn't a fun game to watch. Even if you're a Packers fan, I think at halftime you were like, well,
right,
I'm going to basically just clean the house and do something else. Right. This game's over.
I know, and is that good for the advertisers? At least maybe if the people that were, you know, on the COVID list might have been in there. It might have been a little closer. People might have watched,
you know,
at
what,
halftime.
For the NFL, though, it's all about not giving them advertisers the refunds.
No, but if they could have moved it to today.
Any game. To the Friday? Yeah. Friday football?
Why not?
That's for high school. It's reserved for high school.
Yeah.
This is tough. Tough to watch. Nick Mullins, guys.
Yeah,
Nick Mullins. Are we... are we on the Nick Mullins train? Is it time? Is it the C.J. Beathard show? Or is there anybody else who is... the Niners did make a signing today. Josh Johnson? Is it the Josh Johnson time again?
He's been there.
I know.
Yeah, I don't. No.
What do you guys do? Is it suck for Trevor Lawrence?
No, it's too late for that.
No, exactly.
Jets already got that position.
Got too many wins at this point. So, I think 6-10 is what you're looking at this point. To be honest, I think that's probably where they land.
I
don't know where they get the 2 wins, but that's what I'm guessing.
I think the Niners have a couple pretty substantial issues going into the offseason. One, obviously, the quarterback position. Two, Robert Saleh is probably going to bounce now. He'll probably go get a head coaching job somewhere.
Like, the one thing that's held steady
the ship
is
sinking. Yeah. It's time to bounce.
Yeah. The one thing that's held steady is the defense, even with all the injuries. They've done well. I mean, last night they got picked apart by Aaron Rodgers, but and the DBs right now just look terrible.
Fred Warner was out there playing football, though.
Yes, he was. Absolutely.
All
so,
Fred.
Yeah. All in all, I'd say they still, that's probably a likely scenario is that that's what happens. But you know what? If there was ever a week to just absolutely have a stinker on Thursday night, I guess this would be the week, all things considered, considering what's going on.
Is there
in the
something
world.
Else going on?
Yeah, there's something else going on, I think. That.
Well, Cody, I just don't know.
Yeah, exactly. I don't pay attention to such things. Come on. But yeah, week 8 was an interesting one. The Pittsburgh Steelers remained one of the best. They really laid claim to the throne of the NFL right now. They look to be the best in football. What other takeaways did you guys have? Doug, I'll start with you after week 8.
Yeah, I feel like I'm beating it down every week, but just the injuries, you know, obviously just piling up and just, you know, which is, it's good and it's bad. And you're seeing some guys that probably wouldn't play. But the Steelers, I mean, nobody predicted them to be where they're at. You know, we keep talking about Ben Roethlisberger not getting any hobby love. Like, what else has he got to do? I mean, if he wins another championship, I know we talked about it last week. Well, you guys didn't listen to it last week, but we did talk about it last week. Lost in the ether. But, you know, so we'll see, you know, with Roethlisberger, if he's going to, you know, become that hobby legend like Aaron Rodgers and Drew Brees. He's already got more Super Bowls than those two guys. So if he gets a third one, you can't ignore it.
You know, I love the fact that it's like the last hurrah for – the old school quarterbacks in the league right now. You got Roethlisberger, Brady, Breeze starting to turn it around. He is getting Michael Thomas back soon. So and he looks good. I mean, he's doing Drew Brees type of things. I know I said it earlier that he was done, but maybe he's not. Saints are looking pretty good.
Yeah. They're looking a lot better.
And Aaron Rodgers looking amazing. So it's the old school guys getting that last run. A part of me feels that one of those guys is going to be the one who wins the Super Bowl.
Out with the old, in with the new.
And basically right off into the sunset. I mean, if any one of the, like those four guys, what do you think? If they win the Super Bowl, are they done? Are they basically going to pack it up and be like, I'm going out on top.
Yeah, Roethlisberger always felt like a guy that no matter what happened this season was probably going to hang him up. Now with the 7-0 start and a possible Super Bowl chance, they are the favorite, clearly. I think that's a lock. Rodgers, I think, has a few more years in him. Yeah. I think he's going to go off somewhere else, maybe San Francisco, and extend his career.
You could see Aaron Rodgers going somewhere else.
I do. I think he's going to end up going somewhere else.
I can see him playing another like 6 years and being like Tom Brady. Like Tom Brady, yeah. hold my beer, Tom Brady.
I could see him playing for 6 more years. I can't see Aaron Rodgers with any other jersey on than a Green Bay Packers jersey.
I do like the San Francisco narrative, though. I do like that.
I'm saying don't.
That's a give up on Garoppolo and bring in old man Rodgers.
Every day that we go on further as the Niners, there's more and more talk about that could be Garoppolo's last game.
I mean, remember those Peyton Manning rumors a few years ago, and they are attracted to these veteran QBs for one last hurrah. Tom Brady,
Matt Ryan,
too. Yeah, this is, I don't know.
Kirk Cousins.
Oh boy. Okay. Well, wow. Let's slow our roll there. That's a dodged bullet, though. But we're midway through the season here, so let's kind of recap what we've seen so far, obviously on the field and in terms of how it affects the hobby as well. And let's hand out some awards, some midseason NFL awards. And I want to start specifically looking at the teams. There have been some huge surprises in the NFL this season and clearly some huge disappointments as well. Dan, I'll start with you. Let's start with the disappointing teams. There's some pretty clear ones. I mean, you could say the entire NFC East has been a giant disappointment. What's happening in New England is a shock to everybody, I think, even with Tom Brady leaving. But who do you got? Who's been the most disappointing team in the NFL?
This is tough. This is tough to say because we started this show 2 months ago. A little over 2 months ago, and episode one, I was like, Houston Texans going to the Super Bowl. Houston Texans are not going to the Super Bowl. Stone cold lock there. Not going to happen. Texans may not win 5 games, let alone go to the Super Bowl. They're my biggest disappointment. Second biggest disappointment, injuries again, tough, but Dallas Cowboys, low-hanging fruit. Going into this year, they were the overall favorite, I think, in the NFC to finally put it together and represent the NFC in the Super Bowl. Two biggest disappointments coming out of Texas.
Yep. I mean, I think I'll go with the Patriots because at least maybe not necessarily the biggest disappointment, but like after that first couple games, the Patriots look like, you know, Cam Newton, wow, they got such a good deal, and how does Belichick continue to just get guys that perform? And as you can see what's going on now, it's obviously a big disappointment. And, you know, Patriots fans have that expectation of being not only the leader of their division, but going almost to the Super Bowl every year. And it's not going to happen this year.
My thing is that I want to say what if. What if Tom Brady was on the Patriots right now? What if? What do you guys think? Do you think the Patriots are contending for the East?
No.
I think they are.
So we think it's the Tom Brady effect and not the Belichick effect.
No. I if you look at that Buccaneers team, you look at that defense, it's one of the top talent wise in the league. You look at the weapons that
Tom
Brady.
So are they in the playoffs right now with Jameis Winston?
The interception's got to be under control.
It's tough, right?
You got a guy that's not turning over the ball as much, and they're winning games now. I mean, it's pretty simple mathematics there. But, you know, the weapons that he has and those guys remaining healthy. I mean, Gronkowski's still playing at a high level. You know, Mike Evans was banged up a little bit. Godwin's banged up, but they're back now. They're not out for the season like other teams have to deal with. He would not have had the talent level on the Patriots. He would have to carry the team on his back. They may have made the playoffs, but I don't think any destined for greatness stories. Plus, you got to remember the Patriots had the most big name players opting out for COVID as well. So
that's true. I didn't even think about that.
You know, you lost Hightower. You lost a few other guys. You know, Edelman's of course out for this. I think out for the season now too. That we didn't know that at the beginning of the year. But I think you're looking at their weapons. Tom would have had a very tough time there.
What about another what if? What if Cam Newton signed with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? And where do you see the Tampa Bay Buccaneers? Are they as good with Cam Newton? Or are they not as good?
My problem with Cam Newton is I feel like Cam Newton is aloof at times, where I think Brady gets on his linemen, Brady gets on his receivers, Brady gets on his running backs. He's out there, he's leading, he's motivating. Where I feel like when Cam Newton's down or he gets a couple of interceptions, you see him on the sideline by himself, holding his head with his hands, or staring off into space, like literally counting down, is the game over yet? Because I got something else to do.
I get that, but in Tom Brady, if you're on a team with Tom Brady, you don't want to disappoint the GOAT.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, but Cam Newton should command some respect. He was an MVP and he went to a Super Bowl. So yeah. should command more respect than a guy that's like a, you know, coming off the bench.
And if this was, I mean, if it was Belichick's team first and foremost, too, there's that as well. Yeah, I think there was always going to be some growing pains here, especially Cam Newton. What, he hadn't played in basically a year. He's learning with new receivers, with a new team, trying to get in sync with them, trying to create chemistry. So that was always going to be a problem. But I am kind of in line with you, Doug. This is still Bill Belichick. This is still an MVP caliber player. This is still the New England Patriots. This is not supposed to be happening to this team. And remember, after they lost that Seahawks game in Seattle, but I feel like the narrative after that game was not, oh boy, the Patriots are on a downturn. It was, you know what, they lost this game, but they've got something here. They're going to figure this out with Cam Newton. Cam Newton looks like he's back. He looks like the Cam Newton of old, and something has happened. They're actually the 30th ranked passing team in the NFL right now. So it's not squarely on his shoulders, but it's pretty close.
Some receivers on the Patriots.
That's the thing is he also doesn't have the weapons right now. So in that case, maybe he would be doing better if the roles were flipped.
Yeah, that's about it.
N'Keal,
yeah.
Harry. Right. I actually glad you brought up that Seahawks game. I think that was a turning point. They have not been the same team after that loss.
It's true. Was that game two? I think it was game two, right? They beat the
I'm like, they were just on fire week one, and then after week two, it's over.
But they beat the Dolphins, I think, game one, barely, and then I think they won
that game. But he looked great. I don't know.
Cam Newton looked great.
Cam Newton scores that touchdown against the Seahawks, and the confidence level on that team goes through the roof. And they may be able to carry that confidence into the next couple of weeks. Then you had the COVID issues with the Patriots.
That's true. And Cam Newton being one of those guys, there's a possibility that's still affecting him. We don't know.
You never know.
Do we think that they, and they're actually talking about, and I don't know how they're going to do this, but they're talking about expanding the playoffs to 8 teams instead of 17.
Ooh. During the season?
During the season.
Sheesh.
Wow.
I don't know about that.
Yeah, I don't. You can't do that. I mean, that's like,
you can't change the rules.
You can't. No. Once it started. But if that's the case, the Patriots may still be able to squeak into the playoffs.
Yeah.
And anything can happen in the playoffs. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
A couple bad bounces. Any given Sunday. Turnovers, you know.
I mean, there's probably going to be a 6-win team making it in the NFC. So, you know, a 7 or 9 Patriots team, that's a team I don't think anybody wants to face if they make the playoffs. Let's talk about the surprising teams, though, in the NFL. I mean, the fact that the Pittsburgh Steelers are sitting pretty at 7-0 right now, to me, that's a big surprise. I thought they'd be a good team. But what do you guys think? Doug, who's your most surprising team so far?
You know, I have to go with them as well. I did not expect them to be 7-0. It's a really big testament to the Steelers and Mike Tomlin. And, you know, even last year with the Rudolph situation and Myles Garrett, you know, thing, which seems like eons ago now. That was just last year where he got, you know, hit the head with his own helmet. They still were, like, competing with, like, nobody out there. They had a lot of injuries last year. Nobody thought Ben was going to come back. And, you know, I'm trying to think of who's the biggest surprise beyond them. They're the clear-cut favorite for a biggest surprise. I would have never picked them in a million years if I was going to Vegas to be 7-0 or win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, I mean, it's a Mike Tomlin coached team. You can never. I would have said 100. They're a playoff team. Before the season, I would say, are they 7-0 team? Probably not. No. Like, I wouldn't have said that. But I would say they would absolutely be in the running to either win their division, get into the playoffs. Tomlin knows how to coach that team. He knows how to coach his guys. That team is the clear cut in the AFC. My biggest surprise is the Arizona Cardinals in the NFC West. I know I talk about the NFC West a lot, but they, I think, are the second best team in that division right now. They did knock off Seattle, and they can do it again.
And they beat the Niners at full strength pretty much.
Yeah. So I that team is the real deal, and I think they are going to be the team to beat maybe next year and the following year after that.
Yeah, because you got a young coach, you got a young quarterback. You're probably going to get some lumps in the playoffs,
and you have that core. You have Kyler's going to be on that rookie contract, and you're going to have D-Hop. D-Hop's going to be there for a while.
Not on a rookie contract.
But Christian Kirk is going to still be on a rookie contract. They're going to probably add some more pieces, maybe a lineman. I think they need a premier running back in that offense as well. I mean, Kenyon Drake's not bad, but I think imagine them with a top-tier running back like an Aaron Jones, who is a free agent after this year. If he goes to Arizona, you got a balanced attack, and then you have the running game of Kyler Murray. Yep. I think they are going to be the team to beat. I think they're going to make the playoffs this year. I think there's going to be three teams that are going to make the playoffs out of the West, especially if they add another – they had another playoff spot.
Oh, geez, yeah.
I think all four teams make it. I think the Niners actually win 9 games, and I think they make it.
Wow.
With Nick
Niners aren't winning 9 with, games.
They're going to win 9 games.
No.
They're going to win 9. They'll win 9 games. They're going to go 9-7. They're going to do exactly what the Rams did last year after going to the Super Bowl.
I don't know.
They're
looking at that schedule.
The schedule gets real tough all of a sudden. But I appreciate the positivity there, Dan. But.
I'm not usually positive.
I know. How are these Niners? Me and Cody isn't.
I like when the Niners lose, I'm in such a better mood. I actually like them a lot more. like last night, I'm all, you know what? I like a lot of those players on that team. Especially when they lose.
Yeah, I mean, we could look at the schedule.
I mean, if you're a fan of the team, you're always going to be the one most critical of your team. So I think that maybe plays a part as well.
I get it.
Well, you just got beat up all season. You're like, okay, this guy's down. Well, we could still be good. All right, this guy's down. Oh, we could still be good. We got this guy's down. We could still be good. You know.
Yeah.
This guy's the quarterback's down. Your highest paid tight end in the league is down. I don't think we could do it anymore. Yeah. it was just only holding on hope for a little while.
It's a lot to ask.
Yeah, they got the Saints, then the Rams, then the Bills. So I don't see any wins there.
Yeah.
Let's see. The Washington football team, maybe.
I think
the Cowboys, maybe.
So
that's two wins right there.
So the
that's six.
There you go. There's your six.
Okay. Saints. They're coming on, but they have been kind of Jekyll and Hyde. The Rams have been Jekyll and Hyde. The Niners have beat the Rams already.
That's true.
I mean, anything can happen. What was it? What was Bills. The other team? The Bills. The Bills. Anything. The Bills have
Bills
been,
have been weird.
The Bills have been weird. They've looked really, really good, and they've looked really bad.
Well, then at that point, we should just think the Jets can get in the playoffs too. Then they're all winnable games.
8 straight wins. Who knows?
I think the Niners can go 9-7.
All right.
And I think they can squeak into the playoffs. Are they going to go to the Super Bowl? Probably not. Are they going to win a playoff game? Probably not. But, anything can happen. Like that, there's still all pro players on that team. Richard Sherman's coming back soon.
Yeah. Jordan Reed is out there.
Jordan Reed will be back for a game or a quarter.
He was back yesterday.
Exactly. Did he get hurt?
I don't know. He was out there, though. Could have gotten hurt.
Well, my most surprising team, I'm going to go to the AFC South, and I'm actually picking the Indianapolis Colts. They're tied for first place right now after the Titans' 2 straight losses. They have the number one ranked defense in the NFL. I understand if you look at their schedule, maybe this is a bit of a mirage right now. They have not played a very tough schedule to begin the season, and I think one of their losses was like a 1-point loss to Cleveland, who are one of the other surprising teams. They entered the teeth of the schedule this week. I think they got the Ravens, and they got a lot of tough
opponents.
The
Ravens got to be a tough game. That's
where
I see what
they're
worth.
The Steelers coming up in a few weeks. They've got the Titans coming up soon, so this is going to be a test, but Phillip Rivers has actually done a pretty decent job. The offensive line, one of the best in football. Jonathan Taylor has had some moments there. So with 7 teams, possibly 8, I think you're looking easily. The Colts make the playoffs here. But I could see this going from a nice 5-2 start to they just sneak in at like 9-7, maybe even 8-8. But hey, it's a nice story to start.
You reminded me of something that I've been thinking about this week after watching that Steeler Baltimore game. I'm not sold on Lamar. I'll tell you for a couple reasons. If I was holding on to some Lamar cards that were worth a decent amount of money, I would definitely consider selling right now. Just because, yes, he's great at running. He's very athletic. He makes plays with his feet. But the accuracy is very reminiscent of a Michael Vick or a Colin Kaepernick situation where the guy's got a big arm, but he's just highly inaccurate. You see one guy on the other, and I think it was for me yet last week, it was seeing Ben Roethlisberger making stuff happen and then Lamar in the clutch really kind of missing some passes.
Yeah.
And you got to remember he's on a Harbaugh team. Harbaugh wins. Harbaugh gets you there. Nobody wants Joe Flacco cards. And that guy won a Super Bowl. So, I you know, Lamar's a lot flashier than Flacco, and I think there's a lot more collectors that have Lamar cards than they did when Flacco was in his heyday. I just would be a little bit concerned with the accuracy when teams kind of can figure out how to contain him and force him to throw. I don't know about Marquise Brown being a number one. I don't know about Mark Andrews having a long shelf life.
Does Dez entering the fold, does that change
might help
things
a little bit, but, I mean, Dez is also a couple years too old, I think. Yeah. I'm not saying like 100% sell, but I would just be looking at some prices.
I think the issue is that they're just not as balanced right now without Mark Ingram. Ingram is a huge piece to that offense.
Yeah.
And they truly are. I mean, they're a run first offense that will open up the pass, very similar to the 49ers, very similar to the Rams, where their rushing attack basically allows their passing attack to work.
Yes.
And without Mark Ingram, they do have J.K. Dobbins, who's a rookie, and Gus Edwards, who's been there for a couple years. But Mark Ingram is that guy that keeps the chains going. He basically is a guy who will get you 5 yards on first down, make it very manageable. I think when I don't know how long he's gone out for, but once he gets back, I think that team turns it around and they're the Ravens of last year.
Yeah,
I think so too. Well, we're talking about last year's MVP, Lamar Jackson. How about this year's MVP? Who is the favorite so far? We asked this question on our Twitter, on the Mojo Break Media Twitter, and I would say about 95% of the responses were Russell Wilson. We had a unanimous MVP, 2010? We had a unanimous MVP last year. Guys, I feel like we're going to have another, the way things are going right now, at least, we're about to have another unanimous MVP, and his name is Russell Wilson. Any chance somebody else sneaks up here in the second half and takes the mantle from him?
I think you got to give Tom Brady a little bit of extra points there just because of the age and being able to do it at a high level for so many years. I think I would consider that because he's in a category amongst himself. I mean, the only guys I can think of in the last 20 years that played at that age were like a Vinny Testaverde, which obviously was coming in as a fill-in who obviously wasn't the franchise quarterback. I'm not saying Tom Brady is the franchise quarterback in Tampa Bay, but he's obviously getting the job done on a team that's, you know, really struggled to get to the playoffs over the last 10 years after the Gruden era. So I think you can kind of – I would consider Tom in there, and I would give him, like, maybe if he has a little bit less yards, a little bit, you know, fewer touchdowns than Russell Wilson, I would be like, well, look at the age.
Oh, dude, I can't agree with that. You just said he should get pity votes because he's old.
I in a roundabout way, yeah.
No.
It's like on the golf course, you know, some guys, you know, start a little further.
I think you actually just compared Tom Brady to Vinny Testaverde. I think that was like
comparable.
He's an old guy. Give him some extra votes for MVP. And you know, I mean, he's similar to Vinny Testaverde. That's what I heard.
Yeah. Vinny T and Tommy B.
The man's won six Super Bowls, could have rode off at the sunset. Still doing it at a high level.
It's about this year and unanimous. It's got to be Russell Wilson. The best player in the league, best quarterback in the league, no doubt.
Plus, Tom Brady's in a new offense, got new players. Yeah, Russell Wilson's been on the same team with the same coach for over 8 years. You should have it figured out by now.
It's not even – I don't even think it's close.
Yeah, I think maybe you can make a case for Patrick Mahomes as well. I mean, he's starting to stack the stats are starting to stack up for him when he had 5 touchdowns, I think, last week against the Jets. albeit it's against the Jets. But, yeah, it's Russell Wilson. I mean, and considering this is not the same Seahawks defense that we are used to, the ones of the, you know, the Legion of Boom defense, this is not even close to that.
No.
This is a Russell Wilson Seahawks team. This is his team now, and he is basically, I mean, think of all of the games they have played that have been down to the wire this year, and it's the difference has been Russell Wilson. He does not receive, I don't think he's received a single MVP vote in his entire career. That is about to change. I think that really, if they just kind of keep going the way they're going right now, I know they had that loss in Arizona, but again, that's, I don't think it's really his fault. Yeah, it's a no-brainer. And if he does indeed win MVP, and let's just, for argument's sake, let's say that he gets to the Super Bowl and he wins the Super Bowl. That would be his third Super Bowl appearance, his second Super Bowl win. He gets an MVP. Obviously, his card value is already through the roof. Where does that be? Is he the just like no doubt number one for like the next 5 years?
Well, and here's one thing that you pointed out. He was the favorite this time last year. What happened? He struggled at the end of the year. So we got to see the consistency for the entire year. Lamar Jackson was kind of in the MVP conversation last year, but if you remember at this time last year, it was Russell Wilson and Aaron Rodgers.
Yeah.
And then Aaron Rodgers tailed off, had a bad winter. And Russell Wilson kind of did the same. So
I think you can put Aaron Rodgers in that category right now, though. I think you can talk about Aaron Rodgers as
absolutely.
The MVP.
He's had three tough games. I mean, he's had two tough games and then a Pop Warner team on
but
the field yesterday.
Getting back to the Seahawks and Russell Wilson, their issue, if they're going to make a long run into the playoffs and try to get to the Super Bowl, their defense absolutely needs to get better.
Yeah, because Russell Wilson's not going to have any margin of error. I mean, you can't rely on the guy to be perfect for
games. And it's not – and this is the thing about the MVP vote. It, at the end of the day, it does come down to your team record. And if their defense blows some games, no matter how well Russell Wilson plays, and say they end up 10-6 or something like that, they're probably going to – I mean, there's a better chance that they can give it to a guy like Ben Roethlisberger if he's like 14-2. Even though his stats aren't there.
And that could almost be like a legacy one, too, you know, like in the Academy Awards where a guy's like 80 years old, they've never won, they just give it to them, even
That's
though.
That's what Doug was talking
doesn't
about.
Really,
there you go. Are you on board with like the.
I see that one.
It's like a participation trophy over here.
The
like,
Roethlisberger one to me, that I think that argument is valid because he's never won one. I think he's gotten like maybe a couple of MVP votes in his career. So I could see them throwing him a bone like, hey, 14-2 Steelers team, congratulations, Big Ben, you were the guy all year long. They could be doing something like that.
Look at baseball. I mean, there was all-star games that Cal Ripken Jr. and Derek Jeter didn't deserve to be there, but it was because they were so great in their careers and they were still playing at a high level.
Or you could say, Barry Bonds probably should have like 10 or 11 MVPs, but there were years where they went, boy, we can't keep giving it to this guy. We got to give it to somebody else. So they will find ways to justify giving it to somebody. So Ben Roethlisberger MVP, I don't think is completely out of the question.
I'm going to say something dumb right now.
You're going to say something what?
I'm going to say something dumb right now.
Go ahead, please.
But, warned us here.
But Cal Ripken Jr., like, how can he keep the Iron Man streak together if he's not playing in the All-Star game?
Fair enough.
I don't think that counts as a game.
It's a good point.
No, what do you mean?
Those games don't count. There was even an All-Star game this year.
Well, if you remember, there was a time where they said this time it counts. So, you know, they told us that. Well, let's move on to the rookie of the year. And yeah, last week on the Mojo Break Media Twitter account, we threw it out to everybody because this was the first day that all three of the top 10 quarterbacks selected in the NFL draft were playing on the same day, Tua, Joe Burrow, and Justin Herbert. So we threw it out to everybody, which guy is the most impressive rookie quarterback right now? Overwhelmingly selected Justin Herbert. Which I thought
crazy.
He's looked really good. He's looked really, really good. Has not been able to get the wins to match the play on the field. But I thought that was pretty surprising, especially considering Joe Burrow looked so good last week against a very good Titans team. And he's done it pretty consistently. So right now, I think I would go with Burrow. But if you're talking the overall best rookie of the year, I think I'm leaning Justin Jefferson. He's just had some phenomenal games with Minnesota this year. I think when it's all said and done, Burrow is going to take that hardware home. But what do you guys think? Who is the top rookie in the NFL right now?
I'm going with from the movie My Girl, Macaulay Burrow, except he's not going to have as many allergies. He's going to win. He's going to win football games. Maybe
quite
not
a
this
Macaulay
year
Culkin
so much.
Pull, by the way.
But
he has to avoid bee stings.
Exactly. And soda, right? I think it was soda. Maybe certain soda.
Well, the bee stings took him out.
That's true. So, yeah, avoid the bee stings. You know, but any place the Steelers, and they might wear those bumblebees sometimes. So that might be his kryptonite. Yeah. It might be his kryptonite. But anyways, I think with the amount of yards, he's going to break Andrew Luck's rookie record. He's a shoo-in. I think beating the Titans is a big milestone for a rookie to beat a team that almost went to the Super Bowl last year. And I think Bengals fans are happy, not looking at this year as the time, but offseason moves. He wins rookie of the year. The Bengals are going to start being in the talk of football again.
Cool. So the one thing that the Pac-12 can do is create just great professional pro-ready quarterbacks to just jump right into the NFL. That's what you get with Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert is legit. He's going to be a top quarterback in the league. If you watch him play, he doesn't make those typical rookie mistakes that you see other rookie quarterbacks make. I get what people are saying. I get that poll that was put out there. I understand. I agree with that.
I think you're flat wrong.
100%.
I don't think you're right.
I don't know what you're doing. Is that Macaulay Culkin?
That's Ed Orgeron.
Who?
Ed Orgeron, LSU.
What?
Talk about Pac-12, okay? You talked Pac-12. We're talking LSU coach Ed Orgeron and the famous New Orleans downtown.
I don't know.
Last year.
New Orleans draw like that. I can't do an Orgeron.
Man.
I need some water now.
I think you just ruined the segment.
You know, LSU fans knew what I was doing. I'm sorry that you did not know what I was doing. Maybe they were thinking it was a mix between the guy from Billy Madison movies, but
from The Waterboy.
The Waterboy. But if you would have rocked that, I would have. Well, I still wouldn't have known who you were talking about.
It's the Cajuns, man.
Right.
Okay,
got that Cajun twang. Yeah.
You try to talk Pac-12. Gotcha. LSU's got something to say about that. They won the title last year.
Don't know what I completely lost what I was saying. Justin Herbert, good football player.
Herbert, good. Yeah. Hey, he's been very good. I think in the second half of the season, I think Herbert, because he's been so close, and a lot of these losses are not his fault. I mean, that Broncos comeback was pretty shocking last week. But I think he's going to have a very good second half of the season, honestly. I think there's going to be a lot of lessons he's learned. I think the Chargers are going to be good very quickly. I think the Bengals, frankly, are going to be probably better than we expect, sooner than we expect. But, yeah, I think at the end of the day, I think they're going to go Burrow. But maybe for the future, if you're comparing which guy do you want to hang on to, if you've got a card from either guy, which one do you want to hang on to for 5 years down the road or something, I think I probably would lean Herbert right now, considering what we've seen so far.
You're also wrong.
Dude, I don't.
Keep going with
it. I don't think so. I think it's accurate. It might be insensitive. I don't.
We're going to get some very, very angry letters from Louisiana.
No, they're going to be like, you were spot on.
Why don't you just.
I'm so backing up their boy.
People who are not from California are listening to this going, what is he doing? Why doesn't he just sound like he sounds and goes, hey, bro, why don't you go take some gnar waves?
Yeah, there's that too, yeah.
No, everybody knows. They know the power of LSU and Joe Burrow.
Why do you keep on talking about LSU?
Because that's where he came from. Yeah, they won the title last year. He's the greatest
collegiate
career of all
time. I know, but
you're
not an LSU fan.
I'm not, but for the sake of argument, I'm a Joe Burrow fan.
Golden Domer.
I am, but I am a Joe Burrow fan, and I don't know how he's get this guy that basically is coming in, Justin Herbert, is people are actually saying he's going to be better than Joe Burrow.
I'd like to bet on that. I'd like to bet. I think Herbert will win Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Okay. That's easy money.
Somebody take that bet on.
All right. I actually, maybe it's Burrow. I think there's actually still a really good shot, Justin Jefferson, who I feel like is just slowly, like, just been kind of, under the radar with this. But the numbers don't lie. Like, he's putting up big numbers.
I agree if there wasn't three rookie quarterbacks that are currently starting.
That's true.
If we were in a rookie year where – there wasn't a first round quarterback taken and maybe they're not starting, mm-hmm. I would go Justin Jefferson would probably be hands down the favorite.
Quarterbacks always win.
But now, with, I mean, because there also is an outside chance, let's say, Tua.
I was about to say.
Brings the Dolphins to the playoffs. Mm-hmm. Then you have to look at Tua if he puts up stats. I mean,
I don't know if he played enough games.
His stat, the Chargers are probably not going to make the playoffs, right?
No.
And the Bengals are not going to make the playoffs.
Probably not.
I think when it comes to rookie of the year votes, playoffs is king. Playoffs is actually probably more important than stat line.
Who won the rookie of the year in 2012? Andrew Luck. Did they make the playoffs?
Are you sure?
Russell Wilson and RG3 went to the playoffs.
Are you sure it wasn't RG3?
No, I'm pretty sure it was Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I can't remember exactly.
So that's almost the same situation.
But no, I mean, you go back, and then I'm right again. Pac-12, Andrew Luck, Stanford, they know how to create quarterbacks.
Wilson, same situation. Matt Flynn, Russell Wilson gets the start, makes the playoffs. RG3 makes the playoffs. Andrew Luck wins Rookie of the Year. Same thing.
Russell Wilson barely made the playoffs. He made the playoffs. I think they were like 9-7.
I'm going to fact check that. I am going to fact check that.
I don't know. I thought RG3 won Offensive Rookie of the Year.
Let's see.
And they didn't make the playoffs, right? Didn't
he? They made the playoffs in his rookie year.
He had a knee injury.
Yeah, and then he had the knee injury that essentially ruined his career.
Papa Shanahan.
Oh, it was RG3. I guess I was wrong.
Wow. And they're, again, how do I do it? How do I do it? We should actually replay. Do it again. Do it again.
But I want to say that.
Play that back.
I want to play it back. But my argument was still valid in the sense that it was Andrew Luck against Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson went to the playoffs. Andrew Luck didn't.
So yeah. RG3 did go to the playoffs.
I didn't know RG3 won.
Point being, playoffs success or not success. Sometimes it can dictate it. I don't know. Tua needs to put up more than 190 yards in a game to have consideration at this point.
How did Andrew Luck not win that?
And I promise, promise the listeners, we do watch football sometimes.
Sometimes.
Didn't sound like I did.
Sometimes.
Doug started, Doug's first football game that he watched on TV was last year. It was Niners. He became a Niner fan.
What, against the Chiefs in Miami?
Against the Chiefs.
Hey, I'll blame it on
it was actually the week before the Super Bowl.
Oh, the Pro Bowl.
Yeah, the Pro Bowl. He watched that. He's like, it's great. And then he just came in all decked out with Niners stuff.
Boy, one of seven fans who has ever been converted to football by watching the Pro Bowl.
That's me. No skills competition.
Before we go any further off the rails, let's make some picks, shall we? It's week 9. It's time to make picks. Who do we got? Let me update you again. Last week we had some technical difficulty, so that episode got lost. But we did make picks last week. And right now, all three of us are tied. We're all sitting at 11-5, I believe,
right
now.
Don't call it a comeback.
Quite a comeback by Doug. And Dan and I have just kind of been like, you know, just getting wins and losses, splitting the difference almost every week. So we are in a three-way tie halfway through the season.
This football.
Compelling stuff.
These football games are fun to watch. I'm glad I got into
it. Exactly. Glad we're watching it. But last week, Doug, you had the big week. I think you went 2-0 last week.
I did, yep.
And you and Dan split games, basically. I think you had the Dolphins and the Eagles, whereas Dan picked the Rams and the Cowboys. Mm. You were victorious.
And I think that's the reason why the show didn't work, because I think after the show, he realized that Doug's right, and I need to do something to make sure that the show doesn't have audio.
Unplug the cord.
Because it was my crowning achievement. That basically just somehow got messed up. So my only thought is that Dan,
I came in Sunday night, broke in to my own place.
All right.
And I damaged the file.
It was probably the kombucha or something. He just poured it on the soundboard.
That might have been it.
Could have been it.
So, Doug, who do you got for this?
Well,
week?
I'm doubling down on the Dolphins. I'll tell you that much.
All right. That's your last time you can pick the Dolphins for this.
I am.
Season.
I'm doubling down. It's two at a time. It's two at a time.
My name's Double Down Dan, not yours.
And I'm going against Kyler on this one. The Arizona's at home. They just got off a bye. I think the Dolphins have the momentum. They beat the Rams. They almost beat the Seahawks. They beat the Niners. They just made Jared Goff look like a little bee. So I think that basically what's going to happen is it's going to be a close game because Kyler's running, but I think that motivation, and then Tua is going to really show off his skills on that Arizona Cardinal defense. I've got the Dolphins, and then I also have the Seahawks over the Bills, and the Bills are at home. It's going to be cold. I think Russell Wilson's going to have a fantastic game out there. So I'll pitch. I'm picking two away teams, and I think two underdogs this year or this week to win.
Dan, you got.
Okay. So I'm picking Tennessee over Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's pretty straightforward. I think it might be over for Big Nick.
And he's going with Green Bay over the Niners.
I actually looked at it and I'm all, that would have been a good pick. Of course. The funny thing is that like we don't look at our picks, but I wouldn't have it any other way. I'm taking Arizona over the Dolphins.
Mm.
Okay.
Yeah, because you're salty that Jared Goff looked terrible.
No, because I truly do feel that the Arizona
it's a revenge game for you.
Why would I want the Cardinals to win?
Because the Dolphins.
Why would
you
I
guys
want
were
that?
Favored by like 10 points.
But
the Dolphins. Smacked that ass around.
Why would I instantly on the Rams bye week? Why would I automatically become an Arizona Cardinals fan?
Because the last week, Flores just.
But why? You would think I would want the Dolphins to win,
right?
What do you got, Doug?
It has nothing to do with the division. It has the pride
okay.
on the line.
I'm picking the Arizona Cardinals over the Dolphins. I don't understand.
I gotta stick
off with to Cody.
Like you said, we don't look at our picks beforehand. I also have the Titans taking the Bears. I think that's
now
a rebound game.
They're just teaming
I
think, up on me there.
Actually, we've done it multiple weeks.
I know we have.
Yeah,
I know,
they
I'm
must
sorry.
Have a meeting.
Yeah, I think the Titans are going to rebound this week. And I am going to go with I almost picked Falcons, but I'm like, you know what? I'm going to wait till a better matchup. I am going to go with the Vikings over the Lions. I think the Vikings get a win this week. I think Matt Stafford is out this week due to COVID concerns. So I think that this is a week where the Lions, who have actually been surprisingly competitive early in the season, the Vikings, who are one of those big disappointing teams, I think they're going to turn things around this week in Detroit. So I am going to go with Minnesota over Detroit.
You were about to go to the Falcons, and you somehow lost the paper and the pen, I think, because that's what happens.
Yeah,
when people pick
I didn't know Stafford was going to be out. Who?
Pretty sure he's out. That may have changed.
Who's the quarterback?
Blau?
Is it? I think it's the Niner great, Jeff Driscoll.
Could be.
I think have to look it up.
I think it is.
No, Driscoll's on another team, isn't he?
The fact that I don't know is
he
exactly
already played
why
this year?
I
did he play for
I think he's on the Lions. I think they moved on from David Blau. Blau.
That was a rookie last year.
I think it's Driscoll. I could be wrong.
I think I'm not sure.
Chase Daniel.
I have to look at it. Okay,
Chase Daniel.
All right, then. Yeah, I feel good about my my Vikings pick.
I think, and then David Blau.
So Jeff Driscoll is Bengal. No Bengals.
No. I know he was out there this year. We look real smart.
I can't.
Show.
Yeah, I can't.
Yeah,
recall.
We every once in a while we'll sit down and watch a football game.
Yeah. Maybe
we'll watch a football game, but anyway, sometimes we'll mention the name Ben DiNucci, but that won't be happening.
No, I didn't do it.
No,
I didn't name it. I actually don't even know who you're talking.
Another
about.
Reason why you
I have no idea who you're talking about.
That name does not. That,
yeah,
that
I,
does
I,
not exist.
No idea. I don't know who you guys are talking about when you say Ben DiNucci. Is he kicker? Is he a kicker?
Maybe.
I think so.
Who knows?
Kicker?
Yeah.
No, I think he works concessions.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah, no idea.
Exactly. Might have been a guy I went to high school with. I don't know. Who knows? That's going to wrap it up for the Mojo Break Blitz for week 9. Of course, make sure to subscribe to us, to like us. If you're watching us on YouTube, of course, you can subscribe to us wherever you listen to podcasts as well. And subscribe to our other YouTube pages, Mojo Break Media here, Mojo Break, our main feed for all of your live breaks. We got Mojo Break Card Shop, and head over to MojoBreak.com as well for more. And for Doug, for Dan, I'm Cody. We'll talk to you next week on the Mojo Break Blitz.